Blog Talk Radio.
Get money, old ninja!
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the hot block commander.
How you wanna end a 1 or 2 hour show to get your brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Roll with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports economists speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine, sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five nights at the round table. Five Philly guys diversified and educated.
Diversified and educated. What up, War Room family? All right, welcome to another edition of your favorite show. Gather the family around your radios or your computers because you are once again live in the War Room, brought to you, of course, by War Room Sports. We're your hosts. I'm Devin McMillan, and seated at the War Room Roundtable with me, as always, is Akil Bayon, Jimmy Williams, Paul Johnson, and B. Austin. What up, fellas? What's going on this evening?
What's up?
All right, that's what's up. We got another great show for y'all this evening. We're going to talk some NFL lockout, some NBA stretch news, a lot of March Madness, Sweet 16, and lots more. Shout out to our brothers, Roy and Chris of the Broad Street Line. You can catch them every Wednesday at 6 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. And follow the fellas also on Twitter at the BS Line. We want to hear from you guys tonight, so when we open up the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline during the show, y'all know what to do. That number is 323-410-0012. But right now, we're going to shout out the cast that's having some birthdays.
My birthday, yay!
All right, fellas. First today on our birthday list is one Mr. Aaron LaFette Brooks. He turns 35 today. Aaron LaFette Brooks.
Yay!
B. Austin, what you got on the young, well, the former QB of the New Orleans Saints?
I always thought that he was underrated from not having a line, not having much in the way of a defense. But I think that if he'd have been in a different system and different circumstances, we'd be shouting his name a little bit more. But he had a decent career, you know, and he's also our Eagles starting quarterback's first cousin.
Yeah. He's one of those athletes that came from the Hampton Roads area of Virginia. They just breed them down there. I always thought he was a little bit underrated, too. I mean, he had a little interception problem at times, but I thought he was a gunslinger, just like Brett Favre. He's a gunslinger. Jimmy.
Yo, he said a different situation. All I'm saying is if the man was a different color, we would be calling him Brett Favre. As a matter of fact. I think that he was better than Brett Favre, considering his mobility. Yeah, I said it, because he was a gunslinger. He made the same mistakes that one Mr. Favre did, but he, you know, it's different circumstances, so they blackballed him. Shout out to Aaron LaFette Brooks and Whistle LaFette.
Damn.
Yo, he was one of the more accurate African-American quarterbacks, probably since Warren Moon, to grace the NFL. And, you know, I think he should have gotten, you know, a couple more chances at his age. I mean, for real, he could still be playing right now if you look at all the other quarterbacks out there in terms of age-wise. And, you know, he really was good at his craft, but he didn't have the right system or line.
All right, so second birthday today is one Mr. Peyton Williams Manning. He turns 35 today. Jimmy, Peyton Manning.
Yo, Peyton Manning is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time in the regular season. let me stop taking a shot at him. But the funny thing about Peyton Manning is when you look at his numbers, at times I honestly think that we don't realize just how great he is because we're watching him play. But when it's all said and done, he'll be amongst the top like 3 to 5 quarterbacks to ever play a game.
Right. The kill, Peyton Manning.
Man, you can
I'm sorry.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. I was talking about y'all. I'm wrong with his mic.
Okay. Yeah, Peyton Manning, I mean, arguably one of the best quarterbacks ever. He's like the coach and like the computer on the field at the same time. I mean, he wins with not a lot of talent around him at times. And, you know, he's like the only quarterback that defenses seem to fear without him using his legs. Like, they're afraid of what he's audibling in and audibling out of. So, yeah, you know, great quarterback.
Yeah, y'all know how I feel about Peyton. I probably think he's the greatest quarterback of all time, but I'm still too cowardly to say it at this point. But that's Peyton in a nutshell. B. Austin, what you got on Peyton Manning?
The greatest I've ever seen, point blank, period. Holla.
All right, so the next one is kind of interesting since we just talked about Peyton. The next birthday is Peyton's former liquored-up kicker.
My birthday, yay!
Mike Vanderjagt. He turns 41 today. Bam, what's your recollection of Mike Vanderjagt?
Well, to my recollection, his last work was with my Dallas Cowboys, and he stunk it up big time after, like, breaking records, being one of the best kickers ever. He sucked with us. He was going for like 5 for 10 or 10 out of 20. And obviously he had that famous, war of words with Peyton Manning when he called him his idiot kicker. So
my idiot liquored-up kicker.
Liquored-up kicker.
Jimmy.
That's what I was getting ready. I was getting ready to say anytime I hear him, I think of a liquored-up kicker. And also think of after that little confrontation with Manning, is like his game just went downhill. Let me find out.
Yeah, yeah. He was pretty terrible after that. What can you think of with Vanderjagt? I mean, before that whole episode, he was one of the most accurate kickers in league history, which is usually an overrated stat. I used to hate when they used to throw that around. But that was one of his titles before he became the liquored-up kicker. So our next birthday is Mr. Gerard T.J. Ford.
It's my birthday! Yay!
Jimmy, T.J. Ford.
Yo, when I think of T.J. Ford, I think of, you know, an average point guard. And I know it's going to say, you're going to ask me why am I saying this, but I think of a phony cook. Dude has been on TV the last couple of days talking about his cook game and how he's one of the greatest chefs in the world. I don't know why, but he's been on TV the last week talking about his chef game. So I'm like, yo, how about working on your hoop game?
Right. When he first came in the league, I always thought he was, like, too small, too frail. He was cat quick. But his J was kind of broke, and that never really got that much better. But he showed signs until he damn near broke his neck. No pun intended.
So basically you're saying he had a rondo, because we don't call him broke J's no more. We just call him rondos.
He had a rayon rondo.
So hold up. So I guess instead of calling him T.J. Ford, we can call him T. Ford.
Call him T.
Because he had no J.
No J. Ford. Yeah. All right. Well, B. Austin, you got something on T.J. Ford?
Nah. I mean, I didn't realize that young.
Yo, your mic is terrible, yo. Yo, your mic is terrible. You got to fix that.
Yo, your mic does not sound nice.
Check one.
So
the next birthday we got, the last birthday, y'all going to have some fun with this one. This is Mr. Christopher Wesson Bosch. He turns 27.
My birthday, yay!
Yo,
Jimmy.
I just want to say, when I think of Christopher Wesson Bosch, I think of all kinds of feminine things like Massengill, Playtex, you know what I'm saying, Princess Boyish, skirts, dresses. The color pink. I think of Skittles snacks and Fruit Loops.
Bam. Christopher Wesson Bosch.
Chris Bosch. I think of a talented post player who, I mean, 6'10", plays power forward, but he does most of his work kind of about 15-foot range, you know, average rebounder for his size. And playing down in Miami, and you know, just trying to win a ring with the Heatles.
Yeah, I mean, same thing here. You know, y'all know that I think Chris Bosh got talent, but I don't know how that whole project's gonna work out because he's not really fitting with the guys that he's been wanting to play with for the last 4 years. And like Jimmy said, dude got some tendencies. They're always catching him with his wrist all bent up while he's standing around on the court, and I don't understand what that's about. like Shaq called him the what do you call him? RuPaul.
The RuPaul of big man.
The RuPaul of big man.
Big man. Yeah. All right, but that's our birthdays for the day. So Jimmy, you could tell everybody what's been happening, why they've been on the grind.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, this is what happened while y'all were on the grind, and this is brought to you by Philadelphia Auto Design. First thing I want to talk about is Lawrence Taylor, a.k.a. LT, was sentenced to probation, you know, for that sex case he had. Yet and still, my man Ben is, you know, roaming free, able to grab what he wants. But LT gets probation. So I want to know what you guys think about, you know, Lawrence Taylor, him getting probation for that case, Dr. Bay.
Man, the fact that, you know, they had an interview where he was talking about, yeah, you know, I support the game of prostitution, and, you know, I thought the girl was a working girl. She said she was 19. So, you know, kind of it is what it is. Like he said, my beef isn't with her. It isn't with the game of prostitution. You know, I'm just kind of, you know, he said he has to, you know, face up to what he's done. So I think he was very contrite with it. And the fact that he has probation, I mean, yo, he's lucky. He should be, like, having a parade. You know what I mean?
Yo, he is being really contrite considering that prostitution is illegal. I support the game of prostitution. When they asked him about the girl's age, did you hear him say, I don't card them?
Yeah. Maybe you need to. Maybe you need to, champ. Yo.
They actually showed the girl. Oh, go ahead.
Did they?
She read a statement, and it was obviously prepared by her lawyers because she messed up reading it like 45 times. If you wrote something yourself, you're not going to mess up this much on the thing. And they had her, you know, they had her dressed looking all young, hair all back in ponytail, looking like a 16-year-old. I'm not judging her, but I doubt that's how she looked the night he met her. But
I was saying, LT talks about, like, supporting the game, knowing it's illegal. Like, come on, LT, you got to be smarter. Even if you mean that, just don't say nothing like that, man. You know what I mean? Although we all know that's part of functional crime, which is needed, but that's a whole other debate for another day. Austin, you there? Are you still on that horrible mic?
Yeah, I'm here.
Good.
Okay, what's your thoughts on this, considering, you know, don't say nothing, just give it here. Roethlisberger is still roaming free, attacking young ladies all across the country.
It's two different issues. I mean, LT is like, it's one of those situations where you got to separate the player from, you know, the off the field things. You know,
yeah.
he was one of the greatest to ever do it on the gridiron, but, you know, at this point, as y'all have alluded to, you better be thanking his stars that he's not incarcerated, dealing with OJ, dealing with skinheads in jail. So, you know, I'm thinking dude is tripping, really.
Yeah, let's hope he doesn't go the OJ route and get in trouble for something else like an idiot. You know what I mean? He'd be one of them incarcerated Scarface. Anyway, next story. All of our favorite coach of all time, Buddy Ryan, has cancer. Rex Ryan didn't say what type. And I know we're all saddened by this because we all love Buddy Ryan. Even those that, like, aren't diehard Eagles fans, everybody loves Buddy Ryan. So what's your guys' thoughts on this?
You know, I was listening to a report yesterday where Rex Ryan, he wasn't making too much of a big deal out of it. He was saying, you know, it's going to take a whole lot more to, you know, to get Buddy out of there. You know, he's actually kind of, he's beaten melanoma twice. So this isn't the first time he had cancer, but since they're not telling us what type of cancer he had, you know, I'm a little worried about that. I'm about to put a bounty out on somebody.
Cancer ain't nothing to play with, dog. Yeah, that's one fight that, you know, none of us want to get involved in. Ain't nothing to play with. Austin, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, you know, not really to sober things up, but, you know, my mom passed away from cancer after a 9-year battle, and I just think it's something that when faced with it, you just got to dig deep, pray every day, and do what you got to do. It's something that touches us no matter what profession we're in or stature. I mean, I just reach out to one of my favorite coaches of all time and pray for his recovery.
Absolutely.
Dr. Bayon, what's your thoughts?
Yo, even as a Cowboys fan, like, yo, I liked Buddy Ryan as a coach, man, and I respected you know, just his defensive mind and how he rallied the troops. Even with no offense. But I just hope and pray for the best. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I've also had a lot of people in my life, you know, go to cancer, and you know, I pray for Coach Ryan because it's like you said, yo, as a kid, watching the way he carried himself and the way he won football games with just one side of the – my man Buddy didn't even believe in offense. He could care less. He was winning games without even caring about offense, yo. So, you know, we hope he, you know, wins this battle. And not to keep it so sad in the war room, but another thing is Steve Sable has a brain tumor now.
Yeah,
and, you know, this is sad. Another sad story. Just want to get you guys' thoughts on Steve Sable and, you know, the situation he's going through.
I mean, the crazy part about it is that, you know, just a few weeks ago, we were listening to Steve Sable on the Broad Street line. He was over there busting
shout out to him.
Cat. You know, one day you hear, and, I mean, you know, everything's good, and the next day you got a brain tumor. It's like, life is crazy, man.
Yeah.
Topics, man.
Before
I start staring at the
film. Yo, how about that? Austin, anything you about Steve Sable?
Man, again, my prayers go out to him and hope wish him speedy recovery.
Austin, you said it best. Like, these are things that we all deal with, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter what kind of economic class you're in, you know what I'm saying? And Dr. Bay, you got anything you want to say?
Yo, that's he's a legend, man, and I, you know, with the NFL films and everything. So, you know, prayers go out to him and his family.
All right, I gotta change the news up. I gotta change this news up, yo, because y'all got me feeling like
he finally just saw his dad going to the Hall of Fame. He's probably gonna follow him in there. But go ahead, change this up, man.
Yeah, man, I gotta change the subject, man. You know, I feel like I'm watching the movie Pay It Forward right now. I'm like about to start looking at the ceiling or something, man. Anyway, next story I want to talk about is Dez Bryant. From Kill's Dallas Cowboys. He says he was thrown out of a shopping mall and got a 3-month ban from a shopping mall. First off, how do you get banned from a mall for 3 months? For having sagging pants. Now, Kill, I'll hold you off for a second because I know you're going to defend your man, or maybe you won't. But I want to hear what Austin has to say. I know he has a foot on this.
Sagging pants. Just give you a history for some of our listeners that aren't familiar. I mean, I know you see a lot of these little younger generation kids under the age of 25, and, you know, some of us are in our 40s and still do it. Sagging pants comes from prison culture, where you don't have a belt to hold your pants up, so you let them sag down. And then also there's, you know, some speculation around some alternative lifestyle things that go on when incarcerated, which we won't touch on. But why in mainstream culture would you want your pants hanging off your butt cheeks and furthermore display that to the world for old women, your kids, your mom, your grandmom, your aunt, your uncle, your cousins to see? Come on, man. I'm done.
Yeah, no doubt. Dad, what you got to say?
Before I even get to the sagging pants, like, come on, man, you're a grown man now with a lot of money. What you doing hanging around the mall anyway?
My man need to sign up and go do something else, right?
He's going to walk by the ladies' store, get some attention, and go hit the Foot Locker, and then he's going to meet his boys up in the food court. Like, come on, man. You're a rich ass. You're hanging around the mall with your pants on the ground, looking like a fool with your pants on the ground.
He need to go vine up and go find somewhere else to hang out at.
Exactly, man. Like, come on. That's all. I ain't got to say anymore, man. Too old for that.
Yeah, no doubt. Dr. Bay, what do you want to say about this player on your Dallas Cowboys?
Yo, now, being in the area and hearing the radio intel, I have a lot more information to share. Now, when I first heard it, my sentiments were exactly the same. We're like, yo, how stupid can you be? Pants on the ground, looking like a fool with your pants on the ground, with your hat turned sideways, looking like a cool cat. And I was like, you know what? This is stupid. You know, we're gonna fire this dude up on the air. But then he actually called one of the radio hosts on another show down here, and he was like, yo, it wasn't me in the mall. I mean, it was my one of his, I guess, homies who a security guard asked to pull up your pants, and then once the security guard started to usher them out, he said, hold up, let me get my lawyer, let's settle this situation. And they're saying that he's not, he hasn't been banned from the mall for 3 months. And I know people that work in that mall. Now, it's a pretty ritzy mall where you have, like, the Barney's, the Movado store, Versace, Polo Shop with $1,100 jackets, you know, all these different things. And, you know, a lot of stars go to that mall, frequent that mall when they're in town. But, you know, none of them go there, like, every week that play for the teams here or are actors and actresses. So it's a very ritzy mall, so I guess he wants to just go there to, you know, floss and buy stuff. And they have a hot Foot Locker House of Hoops where you can get basketball shoes that nobody, you know, that you can't get, like, maybe, you know, 400 miles away. You know what I mean?
Hey, Kill, it's funny that you say that because he tweeted that night. He said, headed to North Park Mall tomorrow to get these LeBrons. I am not banned from North Park, LOL. With the food court looking like? They got caviar in the food court?
Nah, no caviar, but the food court, that's a nice mall, you know what I mean? Like, before you step in there, you be like, yo, let me make sure, you know, everything is right, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's one of them, we call them one of them King of Prussia type malls, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, well, you know, that's what happened when you were on the grind.
All righty then. All right, so it's time to pass that rock. This week, I'm going to go ahead and inbound the rock to B. Austin, and then I'm going to run down and try to get that pass back from him. So, B. Austin, tell these folks why you mad.
Tell them why you mad, sir. Tell them why you mad, sir.
I'm mad I'm in Atlanta with all of these beautiful women, and none of the dudes are interested in them. I'm done. Let me pass that rock to, I see the double team coming. I'm passing them up, man. Mac Miller, give it to him.
I take that back and take it up the court because it's the final four, final seconds of the game. I'm going to be brief. I just want to take a minute to give props to Coach Doug Collins and my young 76ers squad. When the season began, the team's 3-13 start frustrated fans and appeared to leave us with no hopes for an exciting season. But since that 3-13 start, the team has gelled, bought into Doug Collins' basketball knowledge and his system, and have thus far scrapped their way to a 37-34 mark, currently sitting in the sixth spot in the Eastern Conference atop the New York Knicks, who are obviously, and by most accounts, back. So whether this marathon ends with a first-round defeat or if they shock one of the top seeds, I am and will be proud of this team's effort to turn around a season that looked doomed and headed for embarrassment early. But don't get it twisted and mistake my kind words for weakness. I will not just settle for getting in, because in the infamous words of Ricky Bobby's daddy, if you ain't first, you last. Now go shock the world, young balls. And with that, I'm going to pass the rock to Dr. Bayon.
All right, all right. Now, yeah, it's interesting. My PTR is going to go two routes. First, you know, I like to say what's up, War Room family. Today I was going to talk about my Dallas Cowboys wide receiver, Dez Bryant, and his pants on the ground incident at North Park Mall in Dallas. But after I heard many different sides of the story and what may or may not have been true, I decided to go in another direction. Well, well, well. You have the overhyped New York Knicks, who are now 7-10 since the famed and drawn-out Carmelo Anthony trade saga. All I have to say in regards to the Knicks being back, myself and the other War Room general said,
well, we don't believe you. You need more people.
Now, in the terms of Carmelo, Chauncey Billups, Amare, and D'Antoni's system being the savior that would get them a title, you know, I sat down and I thought to myself,
the Bears are who we thought they were.
Because basically, they don't play defense. Now, the Knicks are just a high-scoring and no-defense-playing Phoenix Suns of the East who can't win meaningful, grinded-out games in the playoffs. I've been saying for the past 2 months that I expect this move to end badly, with the Knicks getting bounced from the first round of the playoffs 3 years in a row. But at this rate, they may fall out of the playoff race this season. Now, I have to be honest. I didn't expect them to stink this bad. The good thing is they have some years to get it together. But I wonder how long it will be before GM Donnie Walsh, Coach D'Antoni, Melo, and Amare went out of New York. And Isaiah Thomas is back running the Knicks with a starting lineup that features Stephon Marbury at the point, Quentin Richardson at the Jared Jeffries at the three, Ronaldo Balkman at the four, and Eddie Curry at the five. That's all I have for today, so I will throw a pass fake to the left and throw a chest pass to James Williams on the wing.
Yo, you know how I feel. I wrote an actual blog post talking about Isaiah and his situation with him coming back, and I think it's a disgrace. You know what I mean? So, and like you said, we don't believe the Knicks. They got to get it together. But anyway, what's up, War Room World? This is Jimmy, a.k.a. The Blueprint, a.k.a. Milo Rambaldi. And this week, I want to talk about college athletics. Now, this past weekend, I was listening to the new Pusha T mixtape, and that has nothing to do with my PTR. But because I was listening to it, I felt as though I was doing something illegal because he moved so much coke. So I cut my iPod off. And I got a chance to watch some great basketball. I mean, this past weekend, I watched some of the most exciting basketball I've ever seen. The NCAA men's basketball tournament has been just amazing this year. This made me think about the past NCAA football season and how ridiculous the postseason was with about 786 different bowl games. Now, I'm not saying that football needs a tournament, but they need something different. The current system, the bottom line, can get the Bozak. Having all those meaningless bowl games that nobody watches is kind of Trezvanny. Now, that means sensitive for my slow folks who can't keep up. Anyway, it's Trezvanny because you are sometimes rewarding teams with losing records, and the bottom line is they're just not that good. We live in a world that wants kids to play sports without keeping a score, a world in which everyone gets a trophy, and a world in which damn near every team gets some type of bowl game. And don't get it twisted. College basketball is just as bad. They've expanded the tournament. We also have the NIT, and I was flipping the channels and saw something called the CBI. What the hell is the CBI? Remember, many believe that everyone should get a chance to play in the postseason. Fun's on hold. College athletics is run by a bunch of sensitive thugs who all need hugs. The great thing about sports is it teaches you about life, and in life you won't always succeed, but it's more about getting back up after being knocked down. When you make sports so Trezvanny, you are changing one of the most powerful byproducts of playing sports. And for those of you who hear this and think that I'm harsh or I don't get the point of positive reinforcement, FOH, do me a favor and go Cheddar Bob yourself. I'm nice. And I see my man PJ cutting to the basket, so I hit him with the pass.
Yo, I'm using the word Trezvanny for the next 6 years. I'm co-signing that word, guys. Straight up. Yo, man, real quickly, I just want to revisit the whole LT rape case, man. And the only thing more egregious than even the premonition that LT would rape an underage young lady was the statement read by the 17-year-old retired prostitute after LT's conviction. Sis sounded like a cross between Shanae, Wanda, and Snuffleupagus. She talking about some, oh, my God, Mr. Taylor is bad man. Mr. Taylor deserved to go to jail. He died. Dice. Oh, my God, what is that word? Y'all, what is that word? Now, I'm not picking on her because she's a victim. But my advice for you, young lady, is the next time you read a speech on national television, let's go ahead and work on your adverbs, pronouns, past participles, and vowels. Because we're going to need you to have graduated from a third-grade reading level at the tender age of 17. And with that, I do a Donovan McNabb-esque, short-arm T-Rex-style, Scandinavian water monkey power dunk to dislodge the rim from the backboard.
And the crowd goes wild. You got it, PJ.
All right, let me go ahead and blast out to the War Room world on how they can get in touch with us. You can check out our website at warroomsports.com. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our show, our company, or to inquire about sponsorship opportunities. If you'd like to send an email to one of the hosts personally, all of our individual email addresses are also on that page. You can become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/warroomsports. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/warroomsports. You can subscribe to and I'm sorry, you can subscribe to and become a fan of our YouTube channel at warroomsportstv.com. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, you can follow us, friend us, and favorite us to make The War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. Speaking of blogs, check out ours, All's Fair in Sports and War, on the blog tab of our website. Please subscribe to our iTunes podcast so you can listen to the show at any time on your own device. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. So to call in and speak to the host, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is just like raising your hand, and you never know, one of the War Room professors just might call on you. So, fellas, anything going on in the chat room?
Not a damn thing!
Chat room quiet right now.
Yo, on Facebook... Davey Luckett said, you know, let me know when y'all want to talk about the NBA champ, the 2011 NBA champ, Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
Damn, that's jumping up.
Tell him
I was like, yo, homie, I told him no jinxes.
Yeah, tell him we're going to get the Bulls NBA talk, so tell him to keep listening. We'll get to that. But
tell him to back up and stop talking that dumb mess.
Yo. Right now, let's get into a round of HOF or FOH. All right, now. Now, I want to ask you guys a question. You know, this is in a reference to everything that's going on. You know, we've seen the Jalen Rose, Grant Hill thing, yada, yada, yada. But let me think about something, and I want to get you guys' opinion on this. I want to talk about Grant Hill. And the reason I'm asking about Grant Hill is because many forget that at one time, Grant Hill was one of the best players in the game and has compiled up a lot of numbers. And he's also in the process now of putting up numbers. And with that being said, do you guys consider Grant Hill to be a Hall of Famer? Now, remember, this includes his entire basketball career, pros, college, and, you know, the like. So I'll start it off with you, PJ. What's your thoughts on one Grant Hill?
That's a tough one, man. Why are you gonna come to me first, man?
HOF for FOH is supposed to be tough. I can't just give you a guarantee. I can't just give you Kobe. So I'm gonna give you somebody on the borderline though. Grant Hill, what do you think?
Right now, you know what, I'm gonna say no right now. I'm gonna say no, man. Me and Jalen Rose, we say no. Me and Jalen got him at no. I mean. What are you about to say?
No,
I'm just laughing because I see you fighting with your answer.
I mean, Grant Hill, man, like, the thing about him, I think, has been mainly the injuries, though, throughout his career. I mean, now he's on Noni juice, so he's, like, playing like he's 22 years old. But, I mean, the thing, it's been hard, but when he had been healthy, you would see, you know, like short spurts of brilliance almost. Like, you know, he was supposed to be
absolutely
Jordan at one point. But I throw it over to y'all, man. I'm still puzzled, but for now I'm gonna say
he's
no.
Still puzzled. let's get Dr. Bayon. He's a doctor of basketball. So let's see, Dr. Bayon, what's your thoughts?
All right, now let's see. All right, his career stat, 14 seasons, averaged 19.7 rebounds, 5 assists. But yo, his middle name is Henry, so he's like Grant Henry Hill.
Ooh,
kind of interesting.
Grant Henry Hill.
So you got him at 19?
No.
I got him at
Henry Hill.
17.5.
Yeah, that's what I got him. I got him at 17.5.
I got him at 17.5.
You got him at 17.5. Some. 17.5. They had him at
3.
Kill including
it's,
high school.
It's 17.
Now.
It's 17.5 and 6.3 per game.
Well, here
rebound
basketball
rebound?
Database.
What's
it?
Yeah,
you know
rebound.
What? I think where I'm okay. looking at is not counting this year. I'm looking at up to 09-10. It has him at 18.5. So y'all probably looking at
so what,
this year.
I don't
so
know.
What do you say, about Hendry?
If it wasn't for this year, it might be low.
I know, right?
Yeah, well, the basketball database might, you know, they must not have their stuff together. But what I was saying is, when it says similar players by career, this who comes up in basketball database, we have Sharif Abdul-Rahim, Kevin Johnson, Mickey Johnson, Sidney Moncrief, Dan Issel, who's in the Hall of Fame, Mark Aguirre, Rick Barry, who's in the Hall of Fame, Ronaldo Bachman. I mean, Rolando Blackman.
Rolando Blackman. I thought you were talking about Rutgers players.
Hold up. James Worthy, who's in the Hall of Fame. And then it has a Hall of Fame monitor. The basketball database says he's likely a Hall of Famer. But I say he is not a Hall of Famer. I say no. Even including his college career, I say no.
Wow. That's shocking.
We getting our Jalen Rose on over here.
Austin, what's your thought?
This is a tough one for me because, first of all, I hate Duke. Never win another game as long as they exist. I don't particularly like Grant Hill because he's a nice guy. And, you know. Now, moving beyond that, when I look at the numbers for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8 of his seasons, he was what I would consider a dominant player. And so when you count that and you consider what he can do or could do on both, I guess I can say can do because he's proven it now at the age of 105 that he can still ball. He had a 40-point game this year, or 39. I think that he's dominant enough to warrant the Hall of Fame, and really what does it for me is his collegiate career. When you account for what his body of work in the league, and then you look at his collegiate career, I think he's a Hall of Famer. And that's me being objective because I'm not a fan and I hate Duke. Because I hate Duke.
No, I appreciate that, the fact that you're able to separate that.
He's a Hall of Famer, man.
Yeah. Now, before we get to Dev, I'm going to give my opinion because Dev might let him in just based on a letter because Dev liked that letter he wrote back to Jalen, so he may put him in the Hall of Fame based or at least
Hall
put the letter
writer.
In the Hall of Fame. Put the letter in the Hall of Fame. I went back and forth over this. I thought no because of the injuries, but then, you know, I may let him in based upon what he did in his college career. And sort of like what Austin said, he had enough seasons where he was dominant, and who knows how long he'll play now. I watched him play, the night before last against Kobe. And dude actually played some of the best defense on Kobe I've seen in years. Like, he plays both ends of the floor, and most players can't say that. And, like, who knows when he'll finish, but he'll compile a number of stats that I think will put him in the Hall of Fame.
Just to interject real quick, if you notice, dude at 40 years old straps up.
Exactly.
Like, he straps up.
Exactly.
I mean, Kobe's still Kobe. He's going to get 40 on him, but you got to look at how hard Kobe has to work to get 40 and not look at the fact he's going to get 40.
Exactly.
Son
See,
of Mike.
Most lemmings won't
hard.
Get that. Most lemmings will look at the numbers and be like, damn, but if you watch the game and watch how hard he had to work, that makes a huge – that's the reason the game went to 3 overtimes. I mean, if it not for him strapping up like that, they would have lost by, like, you know what I mean? And plus, he hit the clutch 3. He's still balling right now. So I would say personally, yes. So now we got 2-2. And the last vote is to Mr. McMillan.
All right, now. All right, see, I'm going to try to be as objective as I can be. I'm actually a Grant fan. At the same time, when we talk about Hall of Fame, I know it's supposed to be included in there, but I don't really give a damn what these dudes did in college because I don't watch college ball until the tournament. So,
hey, he put in work in the tournament, too, Dev.
I know,
he put in work
with that,
in the tournament.
With that being said, and I'm – you know, both sides make a great argument. You know, y'all swaying me in both directions. I'm being tugged right now. This man was on pace to be a surefire, no doubt about it, lock for the Hall of Fame. But he was derailed by those ankle injuries. I mean, I don't know if y'all remember, but when he came in, he was a walking triple double. Him, he and the guy that he got co-rookie of the year with, him and Jason Kidd, they were a triple double waiting to happen every night. Now, his NBA accounts, because of the ankle injuries, he missed a lot of good years of basketball. And correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not sure if Grant Hill's ever been out of the first round of the playoffs until last year. I could be wrong. Somebody look
that up. You're correct.
So,
I blame T-Mac for that.
And then you remember there was a time when
he went with Detroit too.
He was also the most popular player in the league because he used to get like the lead. He was the lead vote getter for the All Star game for like a lot of years straight. That said, I think I'm gonna have to give Grant a slight FOH. I want to put him into the Hall, but I don't.
What about the letter?
I don't think I can put him into the Hall, man. I'll put the letter in the Hall. I'll bronze the letter and put that up in the Hall next to like Bill Russell's bust.
Oh, well, you know, that's a close vote right there. We got 3-2.
So
we got
3-2. It's close. It's a split decision. It's not like it's a split decision because I'm right on the line, yeah.
Y'all Hall of Famers, would y'all have put him in the Hall of Fame before this year? So, like, say this past summer, would y'all still have put him in, or did this year kind of like solidify it for you?
Well, here's the thing. I'm gonna be perfectly honest with you. Doing these HOFs or FOH is sometimes difficult for me because I have a tendency to compare him to people that are already in the Hall. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, damn, if they let him in, then he got to be in. And I understand that, you know, but I think they should scrap the whole Hall of Fame and start it over. But with that being said, I think that the longer he plays and, like, the more I see him contribute, that does change my mind. Because probably before this year, like, PJ, you're probably right. I probably would have said no. But watching the way he defends now at 40 years old, he's one of the – they're talking about him being first-team all-defense this season.
And Jimmy,
yeah,
Jimmy,
major.
I give you this, though.
I can't.
He better than Joe Dumars. Go ahead, move on.
Absolutely. And that's the problem I have.
If
you let Joe Dumars in the Hall of Fame.
And I voted, and I put Joe in the Hall, and I'll go ahead on record and say Grant Hill is way better than Joe Dumars.
Iggy better than Joe Dumars.
So.
Jimmer better than Joe Dumars.
Hey, yo, my last thing is actually looking at his stats a little deeper. He had 5 dominant years, like basically year 2, until he got injured. And then after that, he had a bunch of, you know, 15, 16, 13, and, you know, 12-point seasons. You know, that's why I kind of, you know.
The 16-point seasons, let me say this about Orlando, because, again, I'm going to go to something that Dev always says all the time. We got to look beyond the numbers, and I think that we're very good at doing that. When he was in Orlando, which were the worst years of his career, he would come back off of surgeries, and he would still have games where he got 33 and 35 and 28 in a game, and they were games where he went to the line 10,
then he
12, 13 times. Wait, hold on. Games where he went to the line 10, 12, 13 times. Why? What does that mean? Whoever is guarding you cannot stop you. Dude was still nice even during those times.
Yeah,
but Steven
Jackson does that. Steven Jackson does that.
Listen, in Orlando,
Steven Jackson won't defend any of us either. He don't play both sides of the floor.
Listen, in Orlando, he played 4 games his first year, 14 his second year, 29, then he played 67, then he played 21. And then his last, you know, he went back up to 65. So, you know, his Orlando career is basically a wash.
I think he was trying to wait for T-Mac to leave. He was trying to get away from T-Mac. But, we got the homie Jan coming along. We're about to take his call. But one thing I do want to say is you can't discount what this man did in college, too. He put in work in college. I know Dev said FOH with that, but you got to take that into account. Let's hear what Jay has to say. Jay.
Yo.
What's up, homie?
What it do?
What's good?
Grant Hill.
I'm listening to your argument about Grant Hill right now. Can I get in my input on this?
Yes, sir.
All right, real quick, man. Dude, to me, I'm a fan. I was a fan of his whenever he didn't play North Carolina. Whenever he played against North Carolina, I wasn't a fan. But the dude's like B said, he's a good dude, man. He one of the rare good guys in the sport, you know what I mean? But But pretty much, I don't think he should be in the Hall of Fame because you know what? He had too many years out sitting on the bench. I mean, we wouldn't be able to know right now if that number would have been consistent throughout the years. If he would have been burnt out by now. The only reason he's good right now is because all that time off. You know what I'm saying? He ain't burned himself out. That's the only reason why the man's still balling like he's 21 right now. Because if you look at it, all the years he missed, he's like, what, 25 in basketball years? So he took the go.
Oh, and he didn't mess with the jump-offs, Jay. Jay, where has it? He didn't mess with the jump-offs.
Yeah,
he messed with the Myers. Let me ask you a question, though, Jay. Right now, in his career, he's 38, 39 years old. Dude has a 40-point game. He's putting up, like, 14 a game. And he's about to make first-team all-defense, or at least second-team all-defense. You got to weigh that in.
You got to, but here's the thing, though, right?
I'm putting a lot of weight on right here.
I think the dude doing great.
Yeah,
I look at him play right now, watch his games. He's doing his thing. He balling hard. But what I'm saying is that it's kind of hard to base a Hall of Fame career on a few good years. You feel me? The rest of his years, he was on the bench sitting, you know what I'm saying, hurt up. So we don't know. It's like y'all was saying about my boy Tim. You know, the unlocked potential, Mr. Lazy Ass. I mean, that's my dude. You know what I mean? But real talk, everybody says it about him. The dude, 6'11", dude got a hell of a jump shot. You know what I mean? But the dude was lazy. Who knows where he could have been if he would have played to his potential? It's the same with Grant Hill. How we know what he would have been good at or whatever if he only was, like, what, maybe 4 years out of the whole time in the league?
Real quick, because we got to move on real quick. But I want to say the difference between that is that Grant has, like, he's one of the all-time. He has triple-doubles for days. Like, he's done it. I mean, Grant Hill was dominant for about 5 years. Like, we can't say that for a lot of players. Even players that we consider to be great players were not dominant for a five-year stretch. He was putting up triple-doubles, going to all-star games. I mean, he's done it.
But, Jay,
I would like to see him hit. I'm going to be real. I would like to see him hit the Hall of Fame because he's a good dude, and I think he deserves it because the type of caliber of a person that he is. But I don't think that he would make it just because of that reason that he hasn't been there all the years he's been in the league straight through. I think that's what's gonna hurt him in the long run.
All right, good looking, JJ. Right. Listen up for the show. We're gonna talk some more hoops. We gotta move on.
I got Sean's speaker. I'm gonna stay on.
All right, Jay.
We had another one on the line. Look like they.
I think they just banged. But anyway,
240. Call back if you got it.
Yeah, 240. Call back in if you want to debate this. But this is like you said, a split decision. This was a very, very close one. But you know, at the end of the day, it is what it is. We may have to revisit this if Grant plays a couple more years and produces.
Yeah.
Hey yo, I got him as a third ballot. I got him as like a third or fourth ballot Hall of Famer. Not first.
I mean, that means you still call him a Hall of Famer, though. We didn't say HOF first ballot. You know what I mean?
Still got him as a HOF 5.
Yeah, HOF 5.
Let's get into some of the other topics. Real quick, we ain't even got to discuss this because we run a little behind, so of course we can skip the NHL. But Penguins' Matt Cook got suspended for the rest of the season. And for the whole first round of the playoffs for that illegal hit Sunday on Rangers Ryan Pintana. I don't think they were ready to take their call, yo. I was wondering what that noise was. Somebody about to get a beat. Well, so that's what happened in the NHL. Dude, he's done for the first round and for the rest of the season. Did y'all hear about Tiger Woods and his new girlfriend? Let me give you a quick synopsis of the story.
Fill me in.
She's 22 years old, right? What's Tiger about?
Go ahead, Tiger. Go ahead, Tiger. That's my man right there.
That's the thing, but I want to ask y'all a question because I've heard a lot of debates on this on the radio today, actually. She's 22 years old. Tiger's known her since she was 7. He was like a friend of her. Listen, there you go. He was like a friend of her dad, right? So when she was 10 years old, she used to draw him crayon pictures and give them to him as, like, motivation for his when he went out on golf tournaments or whatever. So now that she's of age, Tiger's dating her. Now, the argument that I've been hearing back and forth, like, do y'all think that's a little suspect or a little creepy, or do y'all think it's cool since she's of age?
How old is Tiger, y'all?
What year?
Tiger, like, 35. Like, I don't...
What year was she born?
He's 13 years older than her. So when she was 10 drawing things, Tiger was 23.
Hold on. What year was she born?
I don't know.
If she's 22, she was born in 89, right?
89,
ooh.
89,
yeah.
89, she was born... All right, so she was born in 89. Come on, man. That means...
So my problem with this is Tiger knew her when she was 7 years old. So the question becomes, at what point did he start looking at her as a romantic interest and a potential knockdown? And was he playing
Mr. Rogers with a little goodly dooly?
Was he, you know...
Yeah, see, that's the thing, Brad.
Are we talking some pedophilia here? I mean, what?
Right, that's the question, Brad. Like, when did he start looking below the belt and wanting to play hide the rainbow role with her? Because once he starts looking below the – once he stops looking at the pictures and starts looking below the belt, he – if she's under 18, he's a Class A verified pedophile. He's a R. Kelly. Now, R. Kellyism does run rampant, especially in talented men. They got R. Kelly in them, so.
Yo, Robert Kelly is a problem.
Yo, let me give y'all my opinion on this.
He wasn't peeing on girls. I mean, my fault.
Go ahead,
Jeff. Here's my problem with this. My problem with this is Tiger's in his 30s, right? That means that if this chick was born in 89, that means that this chick was 8 years old when Biggie died, right? Once you're in your 30s, you can't mess with a chick. That she had to at least be in high school when Biggie died. You can't mess with a girl that's 8 years old when Biggie died if you're in your 30s, man. Yo, I'm serious about that. Come on, man.
My thing is because...
Where was she having one more chance with
him? Exactly. We see older dudes mess with young girls all the time. So I'm not mad that he's 35 or whatever he is and she's 22. My question
not
goes
mad at
back
all.
With Brad.
I'm proud of him for that.
Yeah, I'm like Brad and PJ. I'm wondering when it was that Tiger started looking at her like, yo, when she get older? You know what I'm saying? Because
put yourself
in those shoes. Say you got a daughter, right? And
I have a
you
daughter.
Got a homie that you hanging around, you know, and he's just somebody she looks up to, had a little crush on when she was young. But then when she gets older, your homie comes back and is dealing with your daughter. That's kind of weird, man.
Yo, as her pop, it's my duty to put the shotgun on his peckerwood. It's my duty.
Whoa.
And pull the trigger. And pull the trigger. Like,
I mean, I can dig it. That's the thing. Here, like, the question, it's always a touchy subject when you talk about that. Like, for instance, if you've known somebody all your life, and then, like, you were a grown man when she was a baby, and then now that she's of age, you, like, trying to holler at her. Like, I've heard a lot of old head perverts from around the way that would see a teenage girl, and, you know, they might be in their 40s, like, man, she going to be bad when she gets 25. I'm like, holler at that. You know, so they plotting, but they don't really make no moves. They just old freaks. But if he was taking pictures from sis, I don't know, because she just became of age. So,
yo, all I'm saying is she was 8 when Biggie died, so that's my problem right there. But anyway,
we'll get back to that. We'll get back to that later. All right, Jimmy's boy, Jim Tressel. Y'all know earlier in the week he asked for equal punishment now with his players. So since they got 5 games, now he wants 5 games. So what are y'all thoughts on that? I hear a lot of people saying he should just be fired altogether.
Yo, I don't know if the man should be fired, but I think that he's a fraud. Like, my thing is, he waited until the NCAA, like, denied the appeal of the players before he wanted to punish himself some more. So, basically, after the NCAA said, look, the players can't get anything less than 5, he wants to take 5. If he was sincere, he would have, like, you know, my thing is, you're their leader. So, as their leader, your punishment should be worse than theirs. That's just my
personal opinion. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I, I could go a step further, and I don't know whether it'll ever get here, but we could speculate that if Ohio State doesn't do well in the five games that he's out, then he's going to come back and say, well, I was suspended, so I don't have anything to do with the 2-3 record or the 1-4 record.
Yeah. My thing is, I'm really waiting to see what the Ku Klux Klan, I mean, NCAA is going to do with him, with this situation. Like, I'm waiting for them to lay the smack down, lay the pimp hand down on him and see how they handle him, because we know what they do to the athletes that lie. My man, the funniest thing I get out of this story is my man said the lawyer was an ex-Ohio State grad, so he was trying to look out for him. Shot him an email and said, yo, situation going on with your players, tattoo parlor, dude is getting investigated by the feds. And Tressel said, all right, I get on it ASAP. Then 8 months later, and he gets confronted about it, my man said, I know of not what you speak. I don't know what y'all talking about. So, you emailed it, though, boss. Like, once you email it, like, and then, I mean, I don't want to get into the whole thing. We already talked about how he's supposed to be Mr. Honor and respect and loyalty, but I just want to see what he's going to do. I'm waiting for that shoe to drop.
See what a sleeveless Carlton sweater will do for you?
Exactly. Those sleeveless Carltons will get you.
Yo, I like the reference James Williams 2012 on our show when he did the PTR talking about the situation with the Biggie lines, and everybody go check that out on YouTube, and that's how I feel about the Tressel situation.
Well, the NFL lockout, we've basically beat that topic to death, and until anything new happens, maybe we'll update that next week, but you know, it's the same old this week. Everybody's coming out saying that the other side is lying and don't believe what you hear. So we can skip over that and go to these NFL rule changes. Now, the first rule change, kickoffs are being moved from the 30 to the 35. Basically, it'll probably end up being more touchbacks and less kickoff returns for a touchdown. Anybody got a problem with this rule? They're citing that they're doing it for safety reasons, because even though they're kicking off from the 35, the players, the kickoff team, has to be lined up within 5 yards of that. You know, they can't be way back at the 20 so they can get ahead of steam and try to blow people up as they get down to the goal line. So anybody got a problem?
Yo, I'm going to give my opinion on this. Honestly, I don't care, but part of the reason is because Devin Hester is not on my team. But if Devin Hester was on my team, I'd be pissed right now. And also, it's a crock of BS, because how many actual kickoffs happen in the game, you know what I mean, compared to other types of plays? If, you know, they're not really going to do anything with this, making more touchbacks. What if coaches decide they want to start pooching it anyway?
I said that because everybody's always looking into the conspiracy theory. Somebody on our Facebook page the other day said they're doing this so they don't have to pay the Devin Hesters and Joshua
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't
that
even
was the
think
dumbest,
that's
that was the dumbest thing I've ever
that's
seen.
A little deep.
Because kick returners don't really make that much money as a percentage of money made in the NFL.
Unless you can do something else worthwhile.
Yeah. Right, it's something else. Like, you see what they're doing with Devin Hester anyway. I mean, look at most – once kick returners get good, they try to do something else with him anyway. But I don't believe all that. Like, I don't think they thought that hard. Like, let's go ahead and, like, make a position extinct so we don't have to pay them. But I do like what Jimmy was saying about what if they do pooch it. I understand that they were saying that it could be safer or they're looking out for player safety, but if they pooch it, it could almost be more dangerous. If they're able to kick it, like, up and get some air under it and the guys can get down there fast enough, it could be, you know, if it's a skilled kicker that can get the ball around between the goal line and the five and make the returner have to make a decision or think about making a decision, then, I mean, I don't see how it's making it safer. To me, it's not that big of a deal. And just like Jim said, we don't have no real kickoff returner right now anyway. So it doesn't really matter to me. But
yeah, I'm kind of with y'all. It's one of those rules I say, okay, if I was on the committee and I was voting, I wouldn't have voted to change it. But at the same time, it's not going to make that much of a difference, because when I watch football these days, half the kickers can't kick it into the end zone anyway. Dude's kicking it out to, like, the 8, the 9, so it's really not going to make
especially
that much
acres.
Yeah, and maybe the field goal kickers will get a couple more points because, you know, more drives might start at the 20.
Drives. drives are going to stall. I think you'll see an increase in stalled drives, a lot more field goals. Not a lot more field goals.
It's all BS. It's just posturing and let so they can say that we're trying to do something to make it
safer.
It's not going to make it safer.
And
I just want to say that they're trying to do something.
To the conspiracy theorists out there, this is how it was before 1994 anyway. So we're just going back to how it used
first.
To be. So come on now,
mm-hmm.
conspiracy theories.
They moved it back in 94 to.
Right.
Yep.
Shout out to Lily God.
Hey, Eric Metcalf.
Trying to come back. Shout out to Willie Gault and shout out to Herschel Walker, both ready to sign.
Yo,
and Gentry off the Tecmo Bowl for the Bears. Gentry.
Rest in peace to Joshua Cribbs and Devin Hester. Whatever.
Shout out to James Jett. James Jett.
So, did y'all hear about the whole thing with Ocho Cinco and his coach? They added again because Marvin Lewis. He was interviewing about Chad doing the whole soccer thing, and I don't have the exact quotes, but he basically says something like, Chad always does things that he doesn't finish. So Chad, of course, got on Twitter and was like, you know, he always on my ass about something, but he ain't saying nothing about Carson Palmer and his whole situation, blah, blah, blah. He always kissing his butt. Why is Chad and coach always beefing in public, man?
Chad is a noodle.
That's black on black crime.
I don't think Marvin likes him. But exactly,
yeah,
black on black crime.
I think Marvin really doesn't
like the ball.
My question is this, though. Does Chad have a point, though?
Donovan needs
no.
me.
He,
no.
Well, I mean,
no.
I don't know. He
I,
may.
I don't. I think the whole thing, I think he gets on Chad because Chad is always making a spectacle of himself. I'm not saying that Carson Palmer isn't tripping right now and making a spectacle of himself, but it's nothing that they're used to in Cincinnati. So I guess, you know, Chad is like that problem child.
Jimmy, there are a ton of stars that we know, and we actually may even know of their interest in soccer, but they don't make a spectacle of themselves just for the sake of drawing more attention and being drawn. Kobe is a soccer lover.
But hold on, though. I'm talking about how come he, when they ask him about Carson, he doesn't want to talk about it, but he's quick to open his mouth. He's been asked about what's his opinion on Carson. He doesn't want to talk about it. But when they ask him about Chad, he's quick to open his mouth. That's what I'm talking about.
We can't make it just about Carson Palmer when Chad consists. That's like Pac-Man saying, well, why don't you talk about Matt Jones when Pac-Man has 16 felony charges. I mean, come on, Chad is always doing stuff. And I like the Bulls' talent, but at this stage in his career, he's more about what attention can I draw than being a great receiver. So,
if you're management and you're going to pick an ass to kiss, who are you going to kiss, your franchise quarterback or a wide receiver? I mean,
is it a situation where, you know, Carson got $80 million, he could put some money on his head?
I think it's about the eighty mil because Carson, like, he's threatening to walk away, and I think they know if they say the wrong thing in the media, they're not gonna have a chance at having that dude stay. So,
let me ask Blueprint a question. Let's take Carson out the equation. With the talent that you've seen Chad Johnson display, are you satisfied with all the noise that he makes and the production you get out of him, let's say, over the last three seasons?
Absolutely not. But that wasn't my point. My point is Chad draws.
Do
he
it.
Does draw. That wasn't my point. My point is Carson, you know, like the imaginary players are in our chat room, they just said Carson Palmer was terrible last year, and he has the nerve to make trade demands, and nobody's calling him out. All I'm saying is the point that Chad was making about, you know, they never see anything about Carson, but anytime he does anything, he's criticized. But yet Carson's saying, trade me, I got $80 million, and I'm never showing up again.
I can see what Jimmy's point is in the sense that obviously Chad is a coon, and we know that. And honestly, I don't think Marvin likes Chad at all. Like, he just doesn't like Chad. You can even get the sense of that from
Brother
looking at Hard Knocks a couple years ago.
I don't like coons either.
Yeah, no, I don't. Me, none of us do. I can dig it, but all I'm saying is, if you're not going to talk about Carson, why talk about Chad? Like, if you're the head coach, I'm not really getting in all this off-season BS trash crap, then I just be like, yeah, I ain't got nothing to say about any. Like, I don't have anything to say about Carson, and I don't have anything to say about Chad. I mean, he took a stab at him, which is cool, but I think Chad has a point, just in the sense that he didn't say anything about Carson.
Carson is like, F y'all,
and y'all can lick my boots before
he,
I
don't think he fears angering Chad. Like, I don't think he, even though, I mean, imaginary players, they're right. Like, the dude, Palmer, he didn't play well. But we got to remember, this is the Bengals. So, you know, you lose him, who's going to want to really come there unless you can get somebody
right
to draft?
Chad,
this draft
Carson would be,
no,
Carson
no
is harder to replace.
Yeah, so
like,
yeah,
Carson is harder to replace than Chad is. That's why, you know what I'm saying? Even though he played like a bum, but it's still hard to replace
let
him.
Me backtrack.
Hell, T.O. was more productive than Chad last year.
Let me backtrack on a statement. Ever since he changed his name.
Ever since he changed his name,
I know,
Chad
right?
I got to backtrack on a statement I made. I said I don't like Coon. I don't mind Coonin and shucking and jiving if the production matches or comes close to matching your Coonin and shucking and jiving.
So then you like Floyd then, huh? So you like
Floyd is gay, and he can see me about it. Holla.
No, but you just saying if the production matches it.
T.O., Floyd ducks people. T.O. don't duck no wreck. T.O. produces
right.
with his shucking and jiving.
T.O. got chumped by Becky.
All right, come on, man.
T.O. was just trying to protect. He just ain't want to get. You know how the cops be after black men with white women. He ain't want to get arrested on his
there
own show.
There you go.
We all know we can touch on this next week since we're going to do our whole MLB opening day show next week. But, you know, the Barry Bonds perjury trial finally got underway. So we'll let that ride out for another week, see what the happenings are. Yeah, see what the happenings
My
are.
Man.
And then we'll come back to that next week and see what's
I
up.
See Barry, I see a tree. I see a rope. I see Barry Bonds. We must have
Yo, you want to talk some hoops?
Yeah, we can talk some hoops. I just want to give a quick shout-out to the women's NCAA tournament because they don't get no love. Shout-out to
Brittany Griner.
And I told my man Patrick Barron that I give a shout-out to the Georgetown women's team. Shout-out to Georgetown women because they're men.
Shout-out to Maya.
Yo, Brittany Griner, she's more tougher than Chris Bosh. Anyway, let's talk some hoops, though.
Especially after Stucky dunked on him last night. But anyway, my fault.
Yo, NBA players of the week this week. LeBron, Ramon James. Am I reading this right? Kyle Lowry.
From down the way? From Finley? From Mallory?
Yeah. Yo.
Let me tell you what Lowry did this week. Kyle Lowry, he led the Rockets to a 4-0 week. You know, they fighting to get a playoff spot. He averaged 19.3 points, 7.5 assists, and 7.3 rebounds. Kyle Lowry was balling.
He had a play like Mike Lowry.
Yo, he had a triple double.
Mike Lowry.
He had a nice triple double, 28 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists. I always knew Lowry had a little bit of game, but, you know, put him in the starting lineup.
Dev, you got it, brother, because I watched Kyle play, and I thought he was going to be serviceable at best in the league.
I thought he could be a good backup point guard. You know,
exactly.
A starter that they didn't expect a whole lot from. He plays good defense, too.
I had hopes at one point of him for about half a season. I hoped that he would be the next Jameer, and then all that went down the tube. So
He's never even been a player, so I don't know why you was thinking that.
What's Ramon's numbers look like?
Ramon, he averaged a league-high 29 points on 55% shooting with 5.5 rebounds and 4 assists. The Heat went 3-1. So we might as well go ahead and just rename this Player of the Week award to the LeBron Ramon Award of the Week because dude got like 96.
Yo,
if they give him
the MVP, somebody should be smacked. They love LeBron.
Yo.
He's going to be right there, I'm telling you.
Hey, let's give Kyle Lowry another shout-out, being as though he has a birthday tomorrow. He turns 25. But he looks almost like Mason Bethard. Did you ever realize that?
He does look like Mason Bethard. Mason Bethard.
Cameron Giles.
He was balling.
Marriage.
I was just trying to make you mad.
Stop playing, girl. I just said that to get you mad.
Yo, stop. Real quick, though. The NBA Players Association disputes the NBA's claims of financial losses. It looks like this is going to maybe worse than the NFL lockout, and we may not even have basketball for a year next year. What you got thoughts on all this?
That's what I hear, Jim. That's what I hear. I hear this situation.
She was not 19.
This situation could potentially be worse, like you said, than the whole NFL situation. Because you got the NBA saying that they're losing money, and you got the Players Association saying it's only we think that a little bit of teams are losing money, so they want to see the books too. So we got ourselves another situation. We might not have any.
All the Players Associations are from the show me state of Missouri and want them to show them. Straight up.
Yo, I'll say this. I think you hitting it on the head, because the Owners Association in the league is powerful. The Owners Association in the NBA is like Token and Jeeves. So they going to have a problem. They going to have a problem. The NBA players is a lot stronger than the NFL players union.
Yeah, I agree with that. Dr. Bayon, you got any thoughts on this pending situation in the NBA?
Yo, I kind of, ever since I've been hearing about both, I guess the last year or so, year and a half, I kind of see the NBA and NFL being locked out. I mean, you know, and then, but after that, I don't expect any lockouts to happen. I think these lockouts will be as critical as the hockey lockout was, and I think both the NFL and NBA will draw up guidelines to prevent something like this happening again. But I think the players will win on both sides.
On both sides? I don't know about both sides.
Yeah, for the NFL and the NBA.
Them NFL cats, boy, they may be breaking in our cribs, you know, once the season starts.
I don't know what would constitute them winning, because I think the NBA players are going to end up taking a lower percentage of salary money. I think that's a
definite. Yeah,
no matter
I do too.
And the players know it, too. That's why Carmelo did what he did when he did it, because he knew he wasn't going to get that money.
Yeah. I don't know if
that's
the part of
your win. They know that.
The NBA has been eating long enough. So.
Oh, yeah, they've been eating well, too.
Stop being greedy.
They've been eating well. They've been eating long enough now. Like Earl Simmons told us.
I'll ask y'all brothers a quick question real quick. The New York Knickerbockers, you know, in the words of Amari, the Knicks are back. Back to what? Who knows? But they've 7-10 since the trade.
Back to...
Meanwhile, the Nuggets are rolling. They're 11-4. They just smacked up on the Spurs, I believe it was. So,
yeah,
what you guys thoughts on this?
New York Knickerbockers.
I don't like to laugh at people from New York that don't know ball and love the Knicks.
Yeah.
Like Bam was saying earlier, I don't think. What kind of soundbite was that? I don't think that the whole trade, you know, was a waste or anything, but, you know, people in New York do get kind of excited quick, and they expected a lot from this team right away. I'm not going to even continue to give them the excuse of, well, they're going through the little gelling period, because, you know, they have enough talent where they can do that and go through their growing pains while winning a few games. They've been losing some bad teams, man. Milwaukee.
The bad teams. They've been losing to bad teams.
That's the problem. Like, it almost seems like they want to be able to outscore teams in order to beat them, because defensively they're not shutting anybody down, and they're not able to outscore teams that way all the time. Like, they're not on all cylinders offensively. Collectively enough to rely on that or try to be like that. And just like Kill said, they're starting to look like the Suns of the East, but they can't score. So they look like trash.
Hey, Dr.
They don't have enough shooters. I know Dr. Bay did a
PTR on this, but here's what I want to ask you, Dr. Bay. How soon before they start calling for the coach's head?
If they don't make the playoffs, I think D'Antoni will possibly be fired, because Donnie Walsh is already trying to get out of there and go back to Indiana with Chris Mullin as his GM. So that's the move that might be on the table.
I think the playoffs are a lot.
They don't make the playoffs, though, that, I'm not saying that's crazy. If they fall all the way out the playoffs, then everybody should be fired.
They're seven.
Hold on,
what
are they now?
Seven.
Okay. They're behind the Sixers. Damn, they behind us now.
Yeah. They stink.
The
funny part, too, is the Nuggets. And how, the funny thing, like you said, is the Nuggets, too, and the success, at least for now, that they're having. It's funny. I mean, you know, it's funny when teams like that, who you look at them, and before the trade, everybody was like, yo, the Nuggets is going to go down the toilet, and they're going to be rebuilding for years and this and that. I mean, I was hearing that, not that that was coming from the war room, but I'm just saying, I've heard that in the media. But it's just funny how the guys can gel together and, like, I don't know if it's just pride or, you know what I'm saying? I feel like sometimes cats will play harder just to prove a point sometimes.
That's what
they playing the game.
I think that might be one of those situations where they're just going hard for now. I don't think anybody really fears the Nuggets.
Yeah.
I think people are, like, hoping to get the Nuggets in the first round.
Yeah.
Blow and blow them
that
out.
Might be adrenaline right now. That might be prove a point adrenaline. But.
Adrenaline, yeah. So, anyway, another question I'm going to talk to you guys about is Rudolph Gay is done for the season.
Damn,
he got to have shoulder surgery. Did you guys see the play? It wasn't against the Sixers, right?
The Sixers, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's ugly, man.
Yeah.
I like to watch Memphis play.
Yeah, that's
even though he has small market team.
Wait, hold on.
Already said
you
it.
Heard
like
what I said.
Memphis play?
Yo,
said it.
I'm going to tell you why. I'm a Zach Randolph fan, yo.
I think that thing. I'm an orange juice and mayonnaise fan. Rudy Gay is exciting to watch.
No,
you don't play no.
I like to watch Memphis.
I like it.
Orange juice.
I just like
mayonnaise
to watch it for dark skin Jermaine.
Yo,
I just like to watch
dark skin
Jermaine and see how
hold
dirty
on.
He's gonna look
real quick. Let's pause it real quick. Yo, TJ, tell everybody who dark skin Jermaine is. Many don't even know who we talking about. We call the boy dark skin Jermaine.
Dark skin Jermaine is peasy, nappy, nasty looking, wolfing, trash truck. Like homeless looking Tony
paper
Allen
selling.
That came that paper selling
yo.
That came from the Boston Celtics
yo,
and is now with
Tony
Memphis
Allen,
Grizzlies.
Man. Tony
he
Allen
like his
plays.
Breath stink.
Yo, he don't brush his hair. Boy, be ashy as hell. He look like he just get up and go run rock. And yo, I'm like yo, the boy be having like white stuff around his mouth. Like he looks all nasty. We call the boy dark skinned Jermaine in the war room. But at any rate.
So
my
I
favorite
think,
player on the Memphis Grizzlies is Zach Randolph, man. Zach Randolph puts in work, man.
Yeah, he looks like Jada Kiss.
Rudy Gay loss. I mean, that's a big loss. They haven't really fallen back since he's been gone. They actually been playing well. But, you know, they've been sitting in that eighth spot. And, you know, they can get in. We just talked about San Antonio last week. I'm not saying they're going to beat them, but they can get those old dudes a run. And they needed Rudy to be able to do that. But it's a shame. But everybody who kept saying how unfair the trade was, them challenging for a playoff spot last year and actually sitting in the eighth spot with a few games to go this year, this is all a direct effect from the Pau Gasol trade. They got Mark Gasol from that trade. They got when they got the cap room from Kwame's contract, they used that on Zach Randolph. They got Darrell Arthur and Sam Young from the picks that they got. So people just got to realize things take time, and now Memphis is finally on the rise. And I agree with Jimmy. They're a good team to watch. I still think Memphis should be contracted from the league because it's in Memphis. I mean, you could just put that whole team and take them somewhere else. And
put them in Jersey. Take that whole squad, put them in Jersey.
You can put them
in
Cherry Hill. Put them Jokers next to the mall. The Cherry Hill Grizzlies. You can go see either one of them, Sixers or the Grizzlies, depending on where we at.
Tell me Zach Randolph. Yo, Zach Randolph puts up 20 and 10, and nobody ever mentions him, man. Zach Randolph puts in work, man.
After microfracture surgery.
Yeah, how about that? After microfracture surgery. Like,
if Davey, if you're listening, man, call in. Tell us what you got to tell us about the Chicago Bulls, man.
Yeah, let's talk about these Chicago Bulls. They're on a mission right now, man. They're
Jimmy
playing some of the best
like,
basketball
like
in the league.
Yeah, let's talk about them
Let's talk about them Bulls, man.
Talk about them
Yeah, I mean, Talk about the Bulls, man. They're on a mission right now, man. They balling. What you guys? I know what Akil is going to say, but everybody else, what you guys thoughts on the team?
I want to know why they beat people by 40, man. That's what I want to know.
Yeah, they smacking cats. Uh-huh.
What kind of money they got on their back and chip they got on their shoulder that they got to beat people by 40 on like back?
Yeah.
Ever since Scotty started sitting on the sidelines with that chick. They just like
that Scandinavian chick.
Yeah, are they overachieving? Are they legit? Are they? Because we know what Derrick Rose is. Shout out to the dude that's better than LeBron. I mean, we know what Derrick Rose is, but what, you know, the rest of that squad, Luol Deng, he's not scared of Ramon either. You know, bottom line, what are they going to do come the first round of the playoffs?
Listen,
who would they match up with in the first round if they come second? They would match up with, like, us, right?
You talking about right now, they're going to be first. They're going to be
right
first.
Right now, they were having
Indiana. Aren't they a game behind them?
They were smacking. They passed Boston last night.
Oh, they passed Boston last night. Okay.
Yeah. So right
they could
now
get the first or the second slot. So right now they would have
Indiana,
the Pacers.
And if they fall, they're going to have the Sixers.
I would see them at least. Yeah, I would see them getting out of the first round. I do. The second round, I mean, so we think. I don't know.
What about
this,
though?
Yo.
Say if they slide to 2 and the Knicks slide, you know, stay at 7.
That's what I'm thinking. I still do because I still think that Boston is a little bit – Chicago is a little bit more balanced right now. Well, much more balanced to me right now when you think about them offensively and defensively. Like just the front court hustles, plays D, the back court, obviously the little monkey man that we all love, you know what I'm saying? Well, I mean, they got the guys that are their role players play their roles well. I just think that they're gelling, to be honest with you. I mean, like, you know, Thibodeau came over on the principles of D, bringing some D to the game, and I don't know that they're going to be in the finals, but because, again, everybody knows that the level of intensity and everything and the chips raise come playoff time. So, I mean, you get to see what people are made of.
It all depends on who they play, though. What if they – I mean, the only team I see that can beat them is probably Boston. I mean, if Mighty Joe Young – I mean, Derrick Rose continues to play the way he plays, you know what I'm saying? Like,
all the Bulls got to do is force Rondo to shoot jump shots.
Hey, but speaking of, though, what's his name? Luol Deng? I think he's one of the more underrated players in the league.
Yeah,
he slept on him.
I slept on him. I started watching him even more this year just because I was watching the Bulls more this year, to be honest with you. And, I mean, he's not, you know, great, but he's better than I thought he was. I put it like that. He is better than I thought he was.
I mean, but if you remember before Derrick Rose came, I mean, it wasn't like a pronounced thing, but it was kind of his team,
right? He was more the go-to guy. Yeah, you're right.
So, Sammons came and started taking his minutes, and then he left. But we got a call on the line. I think I know who that is. Caller, you in the
room? What's going on, fellas?
What's up, man? This is Dave.
What's up? Yeah, this is Dave.
So,
Dave,
what
I hear y'all. I heard y'all talk about my squad. You know what I mean? I'm not going to get on here and brag. I'm really interested in what y'all have to say. If you don't know by now, it's a good chance we're about to take this whole thing this year. Now, I know y'all
don't
know me. I'm going to let y'all explain. I'm going to let y'all finish.
Slow down.
But my man there, let me
slow
tell you
down.
Something. I want to know, I give y'all a 10-15 second explanation on who and why they're going to beat the Bulls, because after watching that Atlanta Hawks game, and y'all can say, oh, Atlanta's falling off, whatever. They're 8 games over 500. Ain't nobody beating this squad.
Wait a minute. You can't.
The Sixers beat the Hawks by 40.
I'm about to say, you can't use the Atlanta Hawks. They're always 8 games over 500.
Why can't we?
Because they always lose in the first round.
We did what a number one seed was supposed to do, and we went to their house on the second night of a back-to-back, which it doesn't even matter about the drama and the storyline. Second night of a back-to-back, flying from Chicago to Atlanta, we beat the Kings by 40. It's NBA basketball at the end of the day. We beat one team by 40, and the second night of back-to-back, we come and beat another team by 40. Who's a playoff team? Who's going to give Orlando trouble in the first round? It's not going to be a sweep. And then the winner of that round has to come to Chicago. And if y'all don't think the Bulls ain't getting the number one seed, y'all are tripping.
No, the Bulls are legit.
But
all I said is you can't use Atlanta as your sample.
Atlanta has lost by 30 points at home like five times this season. Believe me. Atlanta's not my sample, nor did it need to be, because my sample could be the Spurs, who we split with them, and we should have beat them twice. We beat the brakes off of them. We split with your boys in L.A. We swept Miami, the Divas are calling themselves these days. What, I don't know. Y'all know the names. I can't keep up with all the names of the American Idol groups they call themselves or whatever. We swept them. And Boston, we're going to give Boston some work on April 7th. Mark my words. When they come to Chicago, that boy Derrick Rose does not want to lose. And the only person I see that doesn't want to lose more than him is Mr. Bean in L.A. That dude told y'all every step. He's only been here 2.5 years. Every step of his process so far, he's taken significant leaps. He said, yo, we're going to be a playoff team. Went to Boston, gave Boston work as a rookie in 2008. This year he said, yo, why can't I be MVP? Y'all laughed at him. You laughed at me. And y'all just said, wow, dang. It's a joke that he's not an all-star. I don't know why Christina is an all-star.
It's a joke that he's never been an all-star. Well, dang, is
I was talking about that earlier. I can see why he hasn't. He's had some injury-prone years, but he's also had some bad coaches who didn't know how to use him. Vinny Del Negro, he's never used him right. And Scott Skiles didn't use anybody right. He's finally in the system.
He's not a bad defender either.
Your man Joe Johnson was getting nothing, but he makes LeBron work harder for his shot more than anybody in the league if you watch his matchup.
Right.
He gives LeBron.
He's gonna
be physical and do his thing, and LeBron, you know, he's a beast. But he can't come in Wild Dang's house and just throw up the mess that he throws. All that jab stepping, trying to get people to pump fake and do whatever, that mess doesn't work. But
you got the Bulls. Go ahead, Jimmy. I'm sorry.
No, well, all I'm saying is I'm going to give your squad credit. I mean, they're playing at a high level right now. I give them a better chance than we did your Bears because they don't have a leader that's going to walk off and quit on them. So I think they have a legitimate shot.
It is what it is. Football season's over. My boys went, you know, we could have gone a little farther. You're right. We have a little leadership situation, but it's all good. But we don't have a leadership situation in Chicago Bulls locker room.
No, you don't. And I'll give y'all credit.
We gotta see who do y'all think
is gonna beat us in the playoffs though? We're gonna get the number one seed. They gotta come to Chicago. We're 31-4. We haven't lost more than 3 games in a row. If Boston and Miami gotta play each other in the second round, then that's Gucci.
All your points are valid. The only thing I say is in the playoffs sometimes obviously the stakes are higher. So in the playoffs sometimes things do change.
Sometimes people play
a little bit different. They might not. I'm not saying that they're going to be bad. All I'm saying is they haven't been battle tested in a Eastern Conference championship yet. So I think the only team to me that'll even give them a run is probably Boston in the playoffs.
I just think Boston's hurt from that Kendrick Perkins trade, which I know why they did it, but I feel like they're almost sacrificing the year because Kendrick Perkins is perfectly fine. They need him, and now we have the same kind of size that the Lakers do.
Well, they're backing on J.O. and Shaq coming back and standing in the lane. You're not getting any offensive production from Perkins. And even at this stage at the end of their careers, Shaq and J.O. are going to give you more offensive production than
Jermaine O'Neal. Come on, B. Jermaine O'Neal.
No, I'm not saying that he's a ball. Listen carefully, young Padawan. What I'm saying is Jermaine O'Neal is going to give you more offensive production than Kendrick Perkins. I'm not saying Jermaine is nice by any stretch of the imagination, but they need big bodies to stand around.
I almost would rather have Kendrick Perkins for offensive production than Kendrick Perkins. I almost feel, though, the way Kendrick Perkins impacts their defense, I almost rather take his 12-12 than take Jermaine O'Neal's 16 on, you know,
well,
7
not,
of whatever.
Well, no, no, Jermaine well, O'Neal on, is only... a pretty good defender, though. Jermaine O'Neal is a pretty good defender. And I think all they're doing with the O'Neal brothers is resting them for the playoffs.
I think Shaq definitely is getting some rest right now, which I think is the best thing that could happen.
Let me make a quick point. In terms of the East, the only team I see that could probably compete would be the Celtics. And the reason I say that is because in the playoffs, the game slows down and it's more of a half-court game, and they have the experience factor. The Celtics have been there. I mean, the last several seasons, they have that on their side. With that being said,
the Celtics,
I mean, you guys
run the best
half court
offense in the East right now.
Exactly.
The Celtics run the best half court offense in the East right now.
And also, they're one of the best defensive teams. And they're one of the best defensive teams in the league.
But y'all talk about that. We have better defensive numbers than the Celtics.
But it's not the playoffs. It's not
the
playoffs.
But you can throw the numbers out in the playoffs.
What about the playoffs? What about the playoffs is going to make y'all think differently?
Because
they score less than
everything in the regular season means nothing. The Celtics won 500. They won 500 in the second half of the last season. But when the playoffs started, it was a different Celtics team. So all the numbers you want to throw out from the regular season are meaningless once the playoffs start. Look at how the Celtics ended the season last year, and look at what happened when they got into the playoffs. They have that experience, which you really can't. You can't put any kind of statistic on experience. And that's my concern when it comes to your Bulls, because they don't have the playoff experience that the Celtics has.
Well,
Who plays roles the toughest? Who plays roles the toughest?
No, you talking about in the league that I've seen at all?
Yeah.
You know what? I think the toughest matchup for Rose out of anybody right now is Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, okay.
Because they play the same kind of game.
They got the same primate gene.
Exactly, they have that flying around monkey out. Yeah, they have that. They're leaping around, jumping everybody, and their quickness is almost neutralized. Yeah. Even though Rose is more explosive and stronger than him, Russell Westbrook, I mean, he hasn't had a good game against him. We beat him, we split with them. But, I mean, their numbers, it's almost like they kind of cancel each other out. So I say from that point, I would say, but not Rondo. Rondo does not want any parts of Mr. Rose, and don't get it twisted, because he just gave him 36 last time they played.
Hey, but listen, I know nobody, you know, this is not the popular thing, and people don't want to see them, but I'm not going to discount the Miami Heat either. Like, we're not even talking about them as being a potential team. They only 2.5 games out of first place in the East. So
I just think the Bulls have an easier schedule.
The Bulls do have an easier schedule, and I know this is kind of silly, but on a head-to-head matchup with Rose, and, yo, he's pooping on Dwayne Wade. He's pooping on Dwayne Wade.
Oh, Dwayne Wade gets his bucket, though.
Rose is not playing by himself out there, so.
True.
You know, you cannot discount experience. Has Derrick Rose ever won a playoff series, period? Somebody in the chat just said that, as a matter of fact. They said Derrick Rose has never won a playoff series.
Yeah,
so all I'm saying is you can't.
It's only been two
playoffs. Shout out to Andre. You can't. What you say?
Oh, that's true. That's what I'm saying. We're not saying, like, you know, he's bad in the playoffs or anything like that. We're just saying, like PJ said earlier, battle tested.
Let me just say this one.
You know, you got to work your way to that. So this might be
Let me just say this one thing. I'm going to listen to y'all. Y'all were talking about Grant Hill earlier. I think if you put Grant Hill on the Bulls next year, it's going to be a nasty situation.
Who's fighting who,
though? At the two? Positively nasty or negatively nasty?
I think it's going to be positively
nasty. Or
at the two?
Positive? Okay.
Because he ain't taking Lou.
Because
he
played, just as a consistency. His defense, he can shoot the three, and I don't know if y'all watched that game the other night.
Who would you put
Lou
out
at? He gave Kobe some problems.
He always does.
Yeah, we talked about that. He definitely had Kobe doing his push-ups last night.
Yeah, I mean, Kobe broke his ankles last year pretty bad. Y'all remember that when he just put him on the floor. But, I mean, ever since then, you know, Grant Hill's been doing his thing. But, yeah, even that game,
come on, man. We all ballers, and you play D, you get cracked. Even that game where he cracked Grant was playing him great. You're going to get cracked if you play that type of D.
In order to get cracked, you have to be playing D. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you won't get cracked if you ain't D'ing up.
I'm not discounting that, but his ankles got gunnished.
All right, well, thanks, D-Call, Dave.
All right, baby.
All right, Dave. Hey, yo, fellas, as a Bulls fan, I think with the number one seed, I mean, I see us making it to the Eastern Conference Finals. And probably losing to Boston, but if somehow we got matched up with Miami in that second round, I wouldn't be surprised if Miami got it together and then put us out. You know what I mean? Because like y'all were saying, we really don't have no experience. I mean, we got Deng has been to the second round, Korver has, Brewer has, basically our Utah Jazz base has Korver,
Brewer and Boozer. But in terms of you know, everybody else in our core, Bogans has been around. Well, we really don't have no, you know, that type of experience.
Before we move on, I want to ask you guys a question, man. Like, I'm not, you know, trying to like big up Kobe because we always big up Kobe on this show. But yo, did y'all see when he messed his ankle up and then played the next game?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yo,
yeah.
Carlos Boozer had the same type fall on his ankle, and homie missed like 3 weeks. Yo, Tim Duncan probably ain't playing another regular season game. Like, so it just
Jim,
I'm just sitting here like watching
Jimmy,
this. I'm like, yo, this dude
Duncan,
wants it.
Jimmy,
I think Tim Duncan.
I mean, you know,
him
you,
just off. Caution.
Yeah, rest him off GP, right. But, Jimmy, you know who his pop is, yo. So, I mean, why is that surprise?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is he wants it at a level that most of these guys in the league just don't. I mean, this is a regular season. I'm just saying, because, you know, he has a lot
say,
of haters out there.
It's almost like we say with Peyton, his greatness is so typical that we discount it. That's the way I feel about Kobe's want to win. It's like it's to be expected. He's going to play through things that other human beings just can't live through.
We've grown
I just wanted to bring that up.
He set a standard for himself that we expect. That's just like I'm telling you, his body is like retired right now because he's so damn old. His body has already retired. What's making him excel right now is his will and his heart. His body is done already. His body's 48. His body's 48.
No, brother. We got to go back to that All-Star
game,
brother.
Will.
He's not retired.
His body is in retirement. I'm telling you, that's Will right there is doing all that.
His body is old. His will is strong.
Yeah, his will is like
–
yo, I told y'all, that morning I woke up early before work, and I saw after the – what was it, the Heat game, that he worked out after the game, and once I realized he was working out after the game, I just went down and started running by the river. I didn't have nowhere where I was going. I was late for work, but I was so inspired by Kobe working out for an hour after the game,
dude,
and then going to the weight room for another hour. I was running by the river. I seen Gila Monsters and all that.
All I can say is this, though. All I can say is that, like, yo, this dude is sacrificing his body. When his career is over, homie gonna be on crutches or something. Andre White in our chat room said
he gonna need a nice health plan.
Andre White in the chat room says, Kobe is the only person in the world who can wake up and say, I'm the greatest basketball player in the world, and he won't be lying.
I agree with that.
Good point.
There's a whole lot of people who
I'm going to leave it on that note right there.
Let's get into March Madness, man. The Sweet 16 starts tonight. You know, like
right.
I said, we're having a good time with this tournament, man. So tonight's matchup is UConn versus San Diego State. That's at 7. You got BYU. You got Jimmer versus Florida. You got Arizona versus Duke at 9:30. And at 9:55 over on TBS, you got Butler versus Wisconsin. So what's been, like, the standout stories for you guys so far? Like, standout teams, players, stories in the tournament so far?
I want to say is Pitt stinks. I will never pick Pitt to win the game again. I don't care who they play. Pitt can be playing FLC. They can play engineering and science. Yo, they can play anybody. I will never pick Pitt again. Pitt can play the Central Lancers, yo. I'm not picking Pitt.
Jimmy, did I warn everybody about Chokeberg? And I'm upset with Monica who picked them to win the championship. I just looked at her bracket the other day. I'm like, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
Come on,
I'm gonna tell you what. I didn't pick them to win the championship, yo. But I picked them to go a little bit further. I was on my statistical joint. I tried to use the strategy of regression to the mean. Like, they can't be that bad. Eventually, they have to get, you know. What I'm saying, I tried to be slick with it, but guess what? I will never pick them again. I don't care who they play.
Pitt is perennially one of my final eight, final four picks. So even by me saying they were going to choke before the tournament started, I just backed up off of that. I still pick them to go to the Sweet 16, which starts today, and they're still not in it.
Let me tell you something. I had Pitt going to the 8. They got my bracket looking like red sauce pasta. My joint got all kinds of red lines to it because I didn't pick Pitt to get to the 8, man. They screwed my whole joint up. Like you said, I don't have to myself with
this. Check this out. Hey, check this out. I had Pitt going to the 8, too, but on the left side of my bracket, the East and the West, I had every pick right except for Oakland versus Texas in the first round. So I went 23 for 24 on the East and the West. But then when you go to the Southwest and the Southeast, I only had like I only had 10 out of 24. I only got two out of those eight for the Sweet 16. So
yeah, I got a Sweet 10 left. I don't got a Sweet 16. I got a Sweet 10.
Yo, before we move on from Pitt, all I'm saying is, yo, they stink, yo. I don't care what they do. Let me tell you something real quick, though. I'm tell you something real quick about Pitt. If Pitt played the Jalen Rose Charter School, yo, I'm picking the Jalen Rose Charter School, yo. They stink, yo. That's all I got to say on that.
Little sisters of the poor, right? They taking little sisters of the poor.
Yo, I don't care who they play, yo.
Of course, you know, Jimmer, he's been balling. Jimmer is a straight-up Uzi.
I like Uzis, so you know.
Go ahead.
My man Jimmer
is
getting it.
That's all Brad would say is my man Jimmer.
this might be your man Jimmer's last game.
He's got to kick me out of Jimmer going. Tonight might be his last game.
This UConn San Diego State game should be kind of interesting to me because when I look at San Diego State, like they may have the best front court in the tournament right now. If you look at this team play, cuz they got a bunch of dudes that are all athletic, big, and they pass well, and they play D. And it's interesting cuz it's a bunch of dudes that they got the one guy, I forgot his name, but he's like their best player offensively.
Leonard.
You're right. dot Leonard. But it'll be interesting to see how they play against the other Uzi, Kimba. Right now the game is tied 17-17. But it's some intriguing matchups, man. Like Jimmy said earlier, these games have been great last weekend. The games were great to me.
Yo,
I was chilling.
These games. They would bust my brackets all off to the side somewhere, but I want to see BYU win. I want to see Butler win. Like, I went on record myself. I went on record myself back when we did the show right before the New Year and we was recapping everything that happened. I said Butler was a fluke for going to the championship last year. I'm thinking, you know, even that it's only the Sweet 16, I don't think that team was a fluke. Because they lost their best player, and they're still they pulled out some close ones too, man. Did y'all see the endings of their game?
My question is, how long is their coach going to be there before he decides he needs to roll, get that bread?
He's 34. I didn't know he was there. I thought he was like 36. He's 34.
You know that's the question he's been fielding all week. Like
he's getting this Tiger Woods on campus.
You know what's interesting? They said this guy like played for like a small small school, played college basketball, and he went and just started working. Like he had a normal 9-to-5. I forgot what kind of job it was, but his passion was always in coaching. And homie, at like 25, I think he quit his job and did like some volunteer work for like Butler or something. Now I might be getting this, like leaving some of the details out of the story, but in the grand scheme of things, he quit his 9-to-5, worked at like Butler or wherever for free. And they kind of like worked his way up into the head coach position. So I was like, man, that's like following your dream like a mug right there. When you quit the job,
I would love to see Butler win. I wanted to see him win last year. I mean, I'm not even like a Duke hater like everybody, but
he want to see him win too. He want to see him win too, so he could justify leaving. Once he win, he gonna like, who gonna cut that check?
Every win added another comma to that check. Every win he gets, add another comma to that joint. some good matchups. Like that Wisconsin game is actually going to be a good game because both of them, like, wasn't Wisconsin, if I'm not mistaken, weren't they in? No, it was somebody that was in a game that was like 22. The final score was like 22-21 or something.
That was Penn State.
During the conference tournament?
It was 33 to 36.
It was like a JV high school game score.
And that same day, Jimmer put up like 40 something.
I think that San Diego State Temple game. Temple could have won that game, man. They seemed like they were afraid to shoot. Late in the game, they were afraid to shoot the ball.
They were killing me, man. Yo, I was screaming at the TV. They had the, like, I remember at one point in time, they had the ball in the paint, and, like, they made, like, four passes in the paint from, like, block to block. I'm like, yo, is somebody going to shoot this jump?
And it was actually, they were lucky not to get a three-second call on that, but I know exactly what you're talking
about. Yeah, you remember? I'm like, yo, I'm sitting there screaming, man.
So
they was all there looking like Eric Snow back in the day. Nobody wanted to shoot.
Prior to the tournament, we heard a lot from, you know, a lot of our brothers and sisters at Hampton, and they came in the tournament and laid down like some dog plea.
They got beat like Peruvian dogs. Came up with Spanish fleas or something.
Yo, they got violated like Ben Roethlisberger's girlfriend.
UNC Asheville got violated too.
Hampton got beat like dogs in a certain house down in Virginia.
Got beat like the compound dogs.
That's messed up.
Yeah,
but we all think we're winning a game between Hampton and UNC Asheville, since they had like the worst showings of the tournament besides Tennessee.
I think they both will beat Pitt.
you bet on Hampton against Pitt?
I bet on anybody against Pitt.
Not Howard.
I take Howard, yo.
My man, Andre White says Niak and Swat get raw deals in the NCAA tourney. I'm not really gonna say that, man. Conference is weak. Okay, Hampton won a game in 2001, and Coppin won a game in like 98. The Miak is weak. And what seeding do you want them to get if they're not getting a 15th or a 16th seed? Like,
at least as a 16th seed, stop being beat by 80 and 86, 87 points. At least try to get beat. Maybe get beat by a dime. Get beat by 10 points. And then they make it to y'all to, you know what I mean?
For a lower seed.
Yo,
a
century.
I will tell you this, though. In some of those games, like, you know, when we play like LSU and the Georgetown and DePaul's, like, some games would be close. Some games we got smashed by 30 or 40. But the crazy thing is, the refs, even though we're smaller, we're less talented, still be calling in favor of the other team. Like, we played UNC when they had Brendan Haywood and those cats, and they, in the first half, they had one team foul. We had 10, and we're down 39-30 at the half. I'm like, come on, man.
That's like Jordan. Even though nobody could stick him, if you got close to him, they would still call a foul on you.
Yo.
They was using the Jordan rules again on the better team.
I saw Mike at the gas station walk too close, and the ref jumped out. And this was like 2 days ago. But yo, real quick, I blame the Fab Five for this, because Dev made a point when we was talking the other day. He said, "Yo, if they really wanted to make a statement and be rebels, they all should have went to a HBCU." Now, let's say suppose they did that. That would have changed the face of a lot of things. Until they start getting these top recruits to go there, like, it's never going to change in terms of their seeding.
There's money, though.
I mean, you look at it.
They don't have your man, Ed, Jimmy.
They don't have big money Ed. You're right.
Hey,
they need to big money Ed on campus.
Well, Brad, the Michigan cats, you know, they want to be calling people Uncle Tom's. But they all took their talents to the big white state university. Why they ain't go to Howard?
That's true.
Why they ain't go to Hampton?
That's true.
They could be Fab Five. Could have been balling in the MEAC or the SWAC somewhere.
Or Virginia Union.
Put
or the CIAA.
Exactly.
They could have been at Cheney or Lincoln. They could have went to community for 2 years on Spring Garden Ave. Could have
run
in the
rain.
He's trying to call it the 13th grade. But good.
Yo, look at Gonzaga. Gonzaga was like, now they're considered a major, like, you know, a major program.
Right,
I mean,
right, because they bought, right, it, right. They're up there. They're considered, you know what I mean, ever since the porn star, I mean, what's his name? You know what I mean? When he was balling.
Yeah.
He was balling. Fraud, NBA bust.
Right, so,
but anyway.
We all know,
Corey Camp in the chat room said Hampton ain't paying cats 80 stacks like the other schools. That's the problem right there.
I know. And
yeah,
I
they buying their mom's houses and convertible
Hampton
GT.
Hooked you up with like $350 and a hoagie. But
Yo, true story. Howell had a top recruit that was really nice. He did 2 years community, well, 2 years JC in L.A., and they fired all the coaches and banned him from playing because on his recruiting trip, the coaches allegedly gave him tickets to a Wizards game and, like, $50.
I remember that.
Damn.
And dude was nice. Dude was nice. 6'7", athletic, could dunk, shoot with both hands.
For $50 and some tickets?
Yep. Dante Lincoln.
You can smoke a mean blunt.
Yo,
but
shout out to Dante. We had some good times.
But Bruce Pearl got canned after Tennessee laid down to Michigan. The writing was on the wall. You kind of knew as soon as this season was over, he was gone. So I don't really think it had anything to do with the game per se. But that didn't help the case. See, I think the players quit on him. I don't really believe in that in college because the players only got 4 years, so you can't be throwing games.
Right.
My question is, why is the athletic director? Why is the athletic director there? Why is the athletic director? Why hasn't he been fired? I mean,
didn't
Tennessee football go through like
about? Who talked about he wasn't sure if Bruce Pearl would be back after the tournament? Why would you say first of all? Right before the tournament starts.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's new.
His timing was awful with that. Like, why say anything then? Like, you know what I mean? You're going to be closed-lipped about it all up until then. That was completely stupid. So, yeah, you're right. I think the AD will probably be going because he got to be going sometime in 2011, straight up.
You know, your man Larry Brown wants to coach in college again. I think he might be interested in Tennessee.
Larry Brown, like, by
Larry
85?
Brown going to die. He's going to die on the bench, yo.
He's going to die. Remember he used to coach the Sixers? He was always stomping. Always clapping his hands and stomping to try to get people's attention.
Got to play the game the right way.
You know, I just want to get the guys to play the right way. I just want the kid and those guys to play defense. I'd be like, yo, Larry Brown talks so slow. One time I was listening to an interview with him, almost banged out. I was on the highway swerving, got sleepy just listening to him talk. I was like, damn. I hit the vibrator jones on the side of the road, like, brrr. I'm like, damn, Larry. I had to turn some NWA
Larry,
on. It's like streaming at the
Larry
window.
Tried to, didn't Larry try and trade AI about 7 times?
Oh, did he? Well, we got to do something for the kid, you know. Yeah, I called him the kid. Like, come on, AI like 38 right now. Like, the kid.
Most ironic about last week is after the whole Fab Five documentary, Duke and Michigan actually met in the tournament. And I know a lot of us, we were watching that game together. And we were talking about how Nolan Smith.
Let's just talk about Nolan Smith.
Nolan versus Tim Hardaway Jr. Didn't he make him fall during the game?
Oh, God.
Yeah, he crossed him over something street gang-like.
I would like to say that I've watched Nolan Smith grow up through the years playing and running shoot. And this tournament, he made it his business to run around the court throwing hot grease on everybody defending. This dude was getting out the way.
He said hot grease. Damn.
He was
running around throwing hot grease on people.
Brad, because there was a lot of people saying that, you know, he's not going to be anything in the league.
That's the general consensus.
Then you got the whole Fab Five talk about the Duke playoffs and everything.
He
threw
Uncle Tom's up.
He had a hard week, even though he had nothing to do with that. He had a hard week.
We saw him. Who did we see him play? Duke was playing a squad, and he was just taking turns on their guards. Whoever was in the way was just getting.
Oh, that was what school was that? I don't know exactly what you're talking about because, yeah, that one dude just looking afraid every time he got the ball.
He was cracking him, leaving him standing, and then dude would try and foul him, but he was already gone.
See, but his problem on the next level is probably his height. He has more of a two-guard game and a point guard's body, and a lot of people think that point guard is a weakness for him.
Yeah, and he's not as – as quick as he looks in the NCAA, he's not lightning quick. I mean, he's definitely quick enough to play in the league. And so when you create that separation, it's not the window's not going to be there the way it is in college. And I don't know how his pull-up game looks. He's a good standstill shooter. He's good on the setup, you know, hits you nice two dribbles, pull up. But moving fast to the basket and then pulling up isn't really his thing. And is he going to be able to finish at the rim?
Man, Chris Duhon can last in the league.
Chris Duhon is better than nobody.
I don't know. You know, a lot of people, even in our chat room, people saying he has no NBA future.
Wow. At all?
Yeah, they
said. Now, let me ask y'all, who do y'all think would be a better pro between him and Kemba, though? Because Kemba is 6 feet, like 185.
He's definitely not a point guard.
Kemba Walker is Ben Gordon. They're the same person. Ben Gordon was like
a
ball back.
Ben, like, isn't Ben like 6'4"?
Ben's 6'2", and Ben's more athletic than Kemba. Ben got crazy bounce.
I don't even think he's 6'2". I think they're lying about Ben Gordon being 6'2".
Yo, Kemba's listed as 6'2" as well. Kemba's listed as 6'2".
Yeah,
no,
I think they're lying.
No.
Kemba like 6'2", though. You look at Kemba.
I'm saying,
Kemba's 5'11".
Jimmy, I was listed as 5'9" in the Glenn Mills tournament in 95, and I still ain't 5'9". I'm 33 years old.
Yo, they had me listed at 6'6".
Yeah, Jimmy listed at like 6'5".
Yo, so when we came into the building.
They had Marv listed at like 7'1".
Yo, those teams. Hey, PJ, those teams probably looked at the program like,
looked at the
roster.
They're
bringing a squad this year.
I know. Like, dang, they got a big team. They're like, and when we walk in there, they be like, oh, they JV team must be coming first.
They're coming to scout.
Like, no, nah, Joker is us.
Hey, you know what?
Yo,
y'all right. Y'all right. Connecticut Lion, he's 6'1". He's 6'1", 172. Kemba Walker.
Yo.
And Kemba,
Jay
is not like Ben Gordon's either. So if he want to be,
I don't believe none of that stuff. Yo, look at
he's
gonna
have to work hard to be Ben Gordon. Yeah, you're right, Deb. He's gonna have to work to be Ben Gordon.
Yo,
Ben Gordon
had the best. They said he had the best workout pre-draft shooting workout ever.
Ben Gordon is an all-star level scorer. He's not an all-star. I'm not saying that, but scoring wise, that dude can score. Flat out.
Yeah.
He can score.
He's a
fake. That's a good comparison right there. Kemba Walker, the Bobby Jackson. That's what Andre writes in the chat room. Kemba Walker is like Bobby Jackson.
Bobby Jackson.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No, Bobby.
Bobby was 6'3 and played a lot of D. Bobby Jackson or Tony Delk, one of those dudes own a 50-point game in the league.
Tony Delk had 50 with no threes, no three-pointers.
Yeah, Tony Delk was a scoring machine. He had them long monkey arms. It didn't help that he looked like a Quoke Magnum, but that's besides the point. But he had, like, long arms, too. Like, he had a weird build, Tony Delk.
He was, like, 6 feet with, like, a 6'8 wingspan.
long arms. Like, yo.
He could scratch the top of his feet without bending over.
Everybody that's in our bracket contest, we announced who was in the lead on our Facebook page. So good luck to everybody that's in the contest whose brackets aren't busted and they're still in it. I'm like close to the top, so I keep telling y'all if one of us win, we keeping our tickets. So
you got darn right.
We don't reward second place in the war room. So that's just how it's going to be.
No, we not like college football. We don't, you know what I mean? We don't have 78,000, you know what I mean, Johns. Whoever wins, that's what you get.
Exactly. So we about to sign off here and go watch these
games. Yes, sir.
We'd
like to thank everybody for joining us in the war room this evening, and we hope you're here with us each and every Thursday. We also hope you enjoyed tonight's show. Special thanks to all the callers and everyone in the chat room who added to the show. Check us out next week, same time, same place, for opening day in the war room. And, of course, March Madness. Till next week, everybody. We'll talk to you.
Holla.
Get it.
never made it, cause yeah, we were beginners in the hood as 5%ers, but something must have got in us, cause all of us turned to sinners. Now some resting in peace, some are sitting in San Quentin, others such as myself are trying to carry on tradition, keeping this weapon blessing, speak at a western survivors, cause it provides us with the proper insight to guide us, even though we know somehow we all gotta go, but as long as we leave and even we'll be leaving with some kind of dope, so into the day we expire and turn to vapors, me and my capers, I'll be somewhere stacking plenty papers, keeping it real, packing still, getting high, cause life's a bitch and then you die, life's a bitch and then you die, that's why we get high, cause you never know when you're gonna go, life's a bitch and then you die, that's why we puff lie, cause you never know when you're gonna go, life's a bitch and then you die, that's why we get high, cause you never know when you're gonna go, life's a bitch and then you die, that's why we puff lie. I woke up early on my born day, I'm 20, it's a blessing, the essence of adolescence leaves my body now impressing, my physical frame is celebrated cause I made it, one quarter through life, some godly life thing created, got rhymes, 365 days annual plus some, load up the mic and bust one, cuss while I puss from, my skull cause it's pain and my brain vein, money maintained, no go against the grain, simple and plain, when I was younger this I used to do my thing hard, robbing foreigners, take their wallets, they jewels and rip their green cards, just to the project flashing, my quick cash, it got my first piece of ass smoking blunts with hash. Now it's all about cash in abundance. Niggas I used to run with is richer, doing years in the hundreds. I switched my motto. Instead of saying fuck tomorrow, that buck that bought a bottle could have struck the lotto. Once I stood on the block, loose cracks, reduced stacks. I cooked up and cut small pieces to get my loot back. Time is illmatic.